Welcome to the Situation Update for Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. We are going to jump into, right away here, the featured interview of today, which is with Ed Dowd. And Ed joined me remotely. Of course, he lives in Hawaii. He lives on the island of Maui, I believe. And he joined me with just some bombshell analysis. There must be 10 or 12 just newsworthy sound bites in the interview that you're about to hear, which is, it's some of it's frightening, some of it's hopeful. He talked about cities collapsing into warlord-run zones of total collapse, no police, no rule of law. He talked about the end of America, but also how we get through it and how to focus on yourself with healing and directing your mental focus so that what's happening in the world doesn't consume you and drive you insane. So this is a really critical interview. And I think what I'm going to do today is I'm going to run that interview first. It's about 40 to 45 minutes. And then after that, I'll come back with some additional analysis. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and we are joined by one of our fan favorite guests. Ed Dowd joins us from Hawaii. And of course, he's the author of Cause Unknown, a book that reveals a lot of statistics and, you know, very well documented numbers about the number of people disabled and in some cases killed following vaccine injections, particularly COVID vaccines. And he has updated numbers for us out of the UK and some other topics to focus on. So welcome, Ed Dowd. It's great to have you on the show.
Mike, thanks for having me on again. Honored to be here.
Well, we're honored to have you on. I think America is frankly honored by the work that you're doing. You're a voice of truth and reason in a time of lies and deception, it seems. So we really appreciate what you're doing. And what you're digging up is quite concerning. You want to share with us the latest?
Yeah, it's funny what you said about deception. I've coined a term, full spectrum deception. That's the age we live in. Literally 24/7 propaganda and gaslighting at this point. It's the data is the data. And at this point, the authorities see everything that we see and they remain silent. We're in cover up mode. This is the greatest crime ever. And the further we go along in time without banning these vaccines, the worse the crime becomes. So the latest data, and I'm not here to report good news, is that we put out a report a couple weeks ago on the NHS, which is the National Health Services System in the UK. They have data that showed absence rates and work time lost that is very similar to what we already reported on that happened in the US and the UK. What was curious about the data was that it seems to accelerate in 2022, the work time lost and absence rates, to the point where the standard deviation from norm in 22 for the hospital system in the UK is basically the same as it was for the UK and the US, 12 to 13 standard deviations.
Wow.
Above
norm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not background noise.
That's a signal. You know, look, anybody who understands basic statistics, 3 standard deviations happens 0.3% of the time. And that's what we call a signal. Anything above three, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is what we call a black swan event. So this is clearly in the black swan category. So, you know, the other good thing about this data was it had the other reports we dropped were annual data. So this is monthly data. So it's more granular. And we were able to show that the sicknesses and absence rates, you know, one of the pushbacks would be, hey, it's a hospital system, they might get the flu. Well, it was consistent throughout the year. It does not indicate that a respiratory seasonal illness is to blame. And again, it's 12 standard deviations above normal. So there's no flu that I know of that's causing that to occur. So we were able to finally verify that it seems to us that the immune systems of, you know, workers in the US, the UK, and obviously hospital systems are part of that, are compromised and people are getting sicker and sicker and missing work and missing work for longer. So, you know, this is, you know, you and I have talked about this. This is going to have drastic economic impacts for years to come. And, you know, there's 3 categories we identified in our vaccine damage report earlier this year: the injured, the disabled, and the dead. And the injured is obviously a much greater number than the disabled, and disabled much greater than the dead. But the problem here is morbidity leads mortality. So you can go from injured to disabled, disabled to dead, or straight from injured to dead.
That's right.
So this is, you know, we estimated in 2022, 26.6 million injured, meaning they're in some form, shape, or something, their immune system's compromised, and it's presenting as a host of different symptoms and causes. We did drop several weeks ago the UK personal independence payment data that goes into body system new claims versus normal trend, and then you can drill down into the underlying causes. And we're seeing crazy things like blood disorders up 550% in 2022. You know, you can drill down into oncology, which is cancer. You can look at breast cancer, and then you can look at a specific age group, something like 25 through 29. Obviously, breast cancer affects women, and it's up 174% in 2022. So things are just, they're just bad. And I'm just sad that it's just taken this long to even, you know, get people to start to wake up. And it is happening, but we need some grown-ups and adults in Congress or positions of authority to start admitting that this is a tragedy.
Well, yeah, you might be asking for miracles to occur in that case, because actually what we're seeing, as you know, is sort of a ramp up to a repeat of the whole thing. We saw Joe Biden just in the last few days say that he had approved over $1 billion in funding, or he's requesting funding from Congress in order to fund a new round of vaccines for the new variant that, of course, the independent media has dubbed BS.24.7, which I think is pretty right on there. But he's saying that he's going to encourage all Americans to get this new vaccine. And here's a president, allegedly, who has taken four or five shots himself and has been then infected and diagnosed with COVID twice, which proves that it didn't stop the infections or the transmission, saying, well, now we're going to do it all again with a new variant and a new vaccine. We're going to try to get everybody in America to take that. And who knows what level of coercion they're going to use, you know, try to force hospitals and schools that receive government funding in order to get those shots and so on. It's like, wow, did everybody forget the last 3 years? How could this be?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they know what's going on. And psychopaths and criminals, I've seen this on Wall Street, they don't stop until they're caught. Yeah, Enron did not admit to fraud until they were in handcuffs. I mean, the CEO and CFO were whispering sweet nothings into large shareholders' ears. That's why so many people rode the thing down to zero, because they trusted. And here we are again with the authorities so caught, so red-handed that, you know, they have to pretend that everything's going along as it should be. I also suspect, you know, we saw the U.S. disability data uptick in May and June. We had a new acceleration. We added another million people in those 2 months. We had gone a high in September 22 of 33.2 million, up about 3.2 from before COVID, more than half of those employed. And then we kind of went sideways for 8 months, and then something's gone on in the general population where it's reaccelerating. We're seeing that again anecdotally with all these new rash of sudden deaths. And you can just kind of sense that there's going to be two things occurring, I think. More deaths, more disabilities. So why not blame a new variant to cover that up? And then two, there's going to be a financial collapse coming. So, you know, they're going to have to point to some, they're going to have to point to lockdowns to cover up why financial assets are collapsing. So as the economy is already, in our opinion, in a recession going deeper. So
that's
my speculation on my part. Why? And look, if this truly was a bad variant, they wouldn't be like pre-ordering equipment. They would have declared something and then order. It's all seems like it's premeditated.
Yeah.
To cover for a fall winter event.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the economic situation, so I'm glad you brought that up. And I'll start with this. One of the things that I'm noticing, you know, because I run a large business, and you know, we talk to other business owners. No one can find people to hire anymore in America. That is, young laborers, for example. They don't exist. It's like somehow millions of people are missing from the labor pool, which, you know, is probably consistent with what you're finding. But, and I know this is just anecdotal of what I'm hearing from other people, but the implications, the macroeconomic implications, are potentially dire. If you maim millions of people in your workforce where they can't function, what does that do to a national economy, Ed?
Well, it's going to create, and we're already seeing it anecdotally, shortages, supply chains break. I mean, all over this island, and I've heard from friends on the mainland, let's say you want to go to a restaurant. Well, first of all, pre-COVID, you know, if they were open 5 nights, they'd be fully staffed. They knew what it would look like. Well, now a lot of restaurants, you know, they cut it down to 3 nights because they don't have enough staff, and their hours are shorter. It's going on everywhere. There's just not enough workers. You know, you're seeing if your car gets a dent, especially if it's a high-end car, good luck getting a panel for that dent. You know, I heard stories about Jaguars, you know, 2 year wait to get a door panel.
Wow. Replaced.
And that's part shortages coupled with labor shortages. We're hearing about hospital implosions. I mean, the NHS data that I dropped a couple weeks ago into my comments, people were saying this is dead spot on. Wait times to see doctors and get appointments are way up. Once you do see a doctor, if you get a test, good luck getting the results of those tests anytime soon, especially radiology, you know, where you need a radiologist to analyze the MRI or CAT scan. So the hospital system's breaking down. The general economy is slowly breaking down. So the economic implications are dire. Anyone who's flown lately will know the nonsense that goes on with flights. You know, they claim paperwork issues, this, that, or the other things. And it's basically shortage of workers. And then, you know, now we have reports of pilots dropping dead in the cockpit. So
yeah,
this is, you know, look, I liken this to a glacial Mad Max, okay? It's not going to be reported in the news. It's not going to be any fanfare about it. And it's going to happen slowly, not all at once. So it's not going to be a movie. It's just going to be, you're going to be, you know, 5 years from now, you know, people are running, you know, there'll be warlords in certain parts of the country running the show. That's where we're going.
Wow. That's quite something to visualize there. But I can see in certain cities right now, we're not far from that. But, you know, you mentioned something that the loss of manufacturing capability, I think, reflects the loss of a lot of, you know, middle managers and talent, even in engineering and finance and accounting and so on. We're seeing problems in the banking system that we did not see before. For example, Wells Fargo just routinely has difficulty crediting deposits to people's accounts. They routinely have situations where their ATMs do not function. I've seen Bank of America have failures to deposit accounts as well. We're just seeing, and hospitals, you know, hospital billing systems, they've always been kind of a nightmare, and now it's a nightmare on steroids. You know, it's like Jason with a ski mask nightmare at the hospital. The incompetence, it seems, it's spreading like its own virus across all of these institutions that rely on complex computing systems, and they no longer have people who can run those systems. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, it's absolutely accurate. I mean, look, software, I was a technology analyst before I became a portfolio manager, and software, you know, if you don't know, it's coding, and it needs constant updating, and there are bugs. And sometimes you need to do rewrites. And if you don't have the people to do that, things start to break down. I mean, software is kind of archaic. It's coded by individuals, and the code can have bugs in it. It's not some magical technology that just you can write it once and it's okay.
Right. Well, and especially with all the updates that keep coming in and all the malware that keeps coming in and so on. But this leads me to my question about CBDCs. Do you think that our government, our treasury, the central banks can find enough, and perhaps they can, recruit enough talented people to competently run a CBDC where they could prevent all of the, you know, international hackers that are going to try to attack that system and steal money from it and break it down? When, you know, the food stamp system is not that reliable. You know, the FBI gun purchase background check system, not very reliable. Post office, not that reliable. You know, what do governments run that is reliable enough to use as a system of monetary exchange on a day-to-day basis? It seems to me they're going to run into trouble. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a pipe dream that they're going to be able to, like, pull this off without massive problems. And a lot of people are going to fight this. And I'm just making predictions, and I don't have any evidence, but you know, if this gets super creepy and weird, there'll be states that break off, civil war, you know, you'll have like, you know, during the civil war, we had Confederate money. We'll have different entities issuing their own paper money. I mean, that's where we're going eventually. So it's going to be black markets, barter, work trade. No one that is in our camp is going to put up with this. And I don't think it's going to go off personally, but they'll try.
Well, I would love to see Texas issue its own currency, by the way, if it were backed by anything, oil, gold, silver, food. I mean, it's just anything that's real. You know what I mean? Versus this money printing madness in D.C. and the Federal Reserve. There's another trillion here, another trillion there, $100 billion to Ukraine, but nothing for the U.S. border. You know, just any kind of honest ledger would be better than what we have right now, where our purchasing power is just stolen from us every single day. But you think that states could actually end up running their own currencies?
Well, it all depends on what we see unfold. I mean, if it gets kooky and weird, and I'm of the camp, it's going to get super weird. I mean, we got a puppet president. We have them trying to, you know, not allow Donald Trump to actually run on the ballot.
Right.
We have the rule of law seems to be suspended at the moment. And it's getting creepy and weird. And now we have a population that's getting increasingly sick. We're having shortages. We're having, quote unquote, you know, fires being lit all around the globe. And then they claim climate change. Sometimes there are natural wildfires. But this is, full spectrum deception. And, you know, they've talked about it themselves. They've coined a new term called the poly crisis, the WEF and George Soros and others are, you know, that's their new word. Multiple crises at once, financial, climate, war, and pandemics, all rolled into one, as if magically they just appear out of nowhere all at the same time.
And then I agree with that. And the individual consumer is then hit with this incredible food inflation and rent inflation and supply chain disruptions, like you mentioned before, to the point where, I'm sure you've seen these videos, these TikTok videos and so on, Gen Z people basically pleading with the world to say, I can't afford to eat. I can't afford to pay rent. You know, what's going on? If only they knew that this had all been inflicted upon them. This is the result of mad money printing and irresponsible government and a debt bubble that's going to burst. Is it not? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, the debt bubble that's going to burst will cause a lot of chaos and wreak havoc. But, you know, humans are very adaptable. And, you know, there was a time in this country where multi-generations lived in the same home. You didn't have to have nursing homes because, you know, your grandma lived with you. I think we're going back to multi-generational homes. I mean, the local Hawaiians have been doing that already.
True.
I think more and more middle-class America is going to end up living together. If rents are too high, you band together, you go from having, you know, your own place to having roommates, and you know, this is where it's going. And, you know, in many ways, it's actually a good thing because so many people are isolated, and you'll have to learn how to, like, get along and find people with like-minded value systems. So, you know, as bad as it is, there's always a thread of hope on the other side that human relationships are going to take precedence over, you know, the materialistic, let's accumulate as many digits in my bank account as I can and buy stuff.
Right. Do you think we're going to have elections in 2024, you know, federal elections?
You know, I want to be optimistic about it, but the current regime, their crimes are so bad they can't allow it. So they're going to try to do something to either, you know, steal them and or stop them. I mean, we have a president now. We have dead to rights, getting wire transfers from foreign agents for influence peddling. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. And you know, the reason why he's being protected is because this has been going on for so long. And so many others in our government, especially in the both sides of the aisle, are implicated, and they don't want the party to stop. I mean, it's truly the Hunger Games. These people in the capital city sell off bits and pieces of the country to others, and they don't seem to see a bad economy. But if you live outside the Beltway, it's not pleasant for the average American.
Yeah, you're right. It is Hunger Games, and there's Who was it? Was it Greg Kelly on Fox News, I think, that was, or someone there dropping hints that there's some new audio on Joe Biden that's supposed to come out before Halloween, they say. Audio that is so damning that it will force Biden to resign. You know, just audio of him admitting to taking money. Personally, I'm open to your thoughts, but I don't think that Democrats care what audio comes out. I don't think that the Republican establishment cares. I think, just like you said, this is their system. They know they're criminals. They know they're corrupt. They know they're all getting kickbacks and bribes and payoffs. And since they control the media and they control censorship, what do they care what the public knows at this point, right?
I agree. I think those in the Beltway that are benefiting from this system don't care. The good news is that a lot of people are waking up to the uniparty, you know, us versus them, keep us divided nonsense. And, you know, there seems to be a more understanding among some of my former Democratic liberal friends that they're being played. Now, people that make money off this system are never going to admit to it or lift a finger to stop Joe Biden, even if they have him dead to rights on a phone call.
Right.
So I'm in your camp. There'll be no movement from any official source, even if he's dead to rights caught. That's where we are. The rule of law is gone, and we're in, you know, a similar decline to Rome. Rome took a long time to decline, but we have technology, and things move faster in this day and age, so our decline might be a little more rapid.
Now, your background as a hedge fund analyst gives you a lot of experience in understanding asset classes and their risks and their rewards. For the typical person who, let's say they're close to retirement or they're retired, they've got maybe a few a few hundred thousand dollars that they don't want to lose. What asset classes do you think are going to survive the debt implosion that you and I are talking about? You know, for a typical person, you know, what's within reach of a typical person where they could maybe get through this without losing 90% of their purchasing power?
So, you know, this is going to sound, you know, counterintuitive, but the U.S. dollar is going to fail up, and debt equals money, money equals debt. So when they print money, people don't understand they actually create a debt. It's credit creation. That's how you make new money. And the system is currently a dollar-based system. Lots of our foreign competitors and enemies and even allies have trillions of dollars in dollar-denominated debt. So as we begin a global debt implosion, there'll be currency wars. And even though, you know, we're the you know, progenitors of this system, we have a military industrial complex that will fight to the death to make sure that we come out on top on whatever new system happens. And there's going to be a crowding out of private investment because the government budgets and debt loads are getting so big. They crowd out private investment, which causes a deflation. So the safest thing near term is a U.S. Treasury bill, 3 months in duration. And that's where they're going to try to force through financial suppression the funding of the behemoth. So in the short term, next 5, 7, 8 years, you know, U.S. government debt's your safest bet, very short term debt. And we're going to be the cleanest shirt in a dirty laundry. That's how I view this. And there'll be wars fought over, you know, the BRICS. If the BRICS actually do try to start a currency, there'll be wars over that. The U.S. military industrial complex funds itself because of our world reserve currency status. So it's very right. complicated. And we, you know, as an American, you don't want the dollar to implode, because if it does, we're Venezuela and it's game over and it's hyperinflation.
Right.
So I don't see that right away. But that if I'm avoiding a stock market crash or a, you know, corporate credit crash, short-term government bonds is your best bet. 3-month T-bills, and you're getting 5% to wait. That's again not financial advice, but look, long-term, gold and silver will be fine. You just don't want all your eggs in one basket, because in a financial panic, they'll go down initially, but long-term they'll do great. And you don't want gold bars. Obviously, you want coins, because you know you're trying to scrape off part of your gold bar. It's probably not
the visibility. Well, yeah. I'm glad you tied the monetary power to the projection of military power, because I would maybe redirect something to you on that, which is the U.S. and NATO forces appearing to be failing catastrophically in Ukraine, and the fact that the U.S. doesn't want M1 Abrams tanks on the battlefield at all, because those tanks would be destroyed by Russia's Lancet 3 drones and, you know, precision artillery units and so on. And the last thing the U.S. military industrial complex wants is dead, you know, burned out M1 Abrams tank husks littering the battlefields of Ukraine. That's not good for sales, it turns out. But you have key advantages of military power where Russia has hypersonic missiles and China has, at least claims to have, this new, you know, laser heat removal system that could enable military lasers in a few years, not instantly. But Russia's got the hypersonic missiles right now that apparently the U.S. can't defend against. Isn't the U.S. kind of becoming militarily obsolete on the world stage?
Yeah, I haven't looked into that, but if that's the case, you know, we lose our power and our status. The world reserve currency does come into question. So if we don't keep our military strong, we got a problem long term. And you know, I haven't looked deep into that, but if your analysis is correct, you know, the timeline of the dollar filling up gets accelerated, unfortunately.
Well, I think the outcome of this conflict with Russia is really going to be a key determining factor, because I think the world saw the United States, you know, run and retreat out of Afghanistan and Syria. And if the U.S. runs and retreats from Russia, then it's kind of like everybody watching all the other nations, including Saudi Arabia, say, well, gosh, you know, the U.S. really can't project military power anymore. And the Saudis have just joined the, you know, the BRICS group, as you know, and I think five or six other nations as well, where the BRICS group seems to be larger economically now than G7 nations. So it's not, you know, it's no longer sort of, oh, this fringe little, you know, kids table over here. This is China, Russia, you know, Saudis and some pretty major players. It's like they can run a competent play against the dollar should they choose to do so, it seems.
Well, it's a couple things on that. You know, India was supposed to be there. I think India may have pulled out. Mexico for sure didn't join. They don't trust each other. And it's a lot of, I think, this is talk. They're not actually going to implement a currency coming out of this conference. They'll probably table it and what have you. And if they were to create a new currency, they wouldn't be able to transact everything right in that new currency, because of the dollar debt-based fiat system is so ingrained into their systems. It would cause a deflationary event in their own countries and devalue their own currency. So this is a long-term thing, I think. What's different this time is these countries have always hated the dollar system because, you know, it's our way of controlling them.
Right.
But now they're publicly talking about it. So why are they doing that? Because we have a weak administration. People are seizing on the fact we look like we're in decline. The rule of law here in this country is clearly being thrown out. So these signals embolden them to now speak publicly and have, you know, conferences in the light of day. This used to be backdoor, you know, whispering. And so it's a big problem. I'm not going to try to, you know, de-emphasize it. But, you know, a lot of people look at that and say, oh, the dollar's going to implode in 6 months. This is a process. It's not going to be an overnight event, in my
right.
humble opinion.
No, I agree with you as well. Let me shift gears and ask you a more of a personal question, because you've spent considerable time and effort and money, by the way. You know, you pay researchers, and you wrote your book Cause Unknown, which is selling very well, by the way, folks. You can find it at booksellers everywhere, and I encourage you to do so. But Ed, you've also taken a lot of, you know, just personal risk, reputation risk and so on, by doing interviews and being public about this. And what drives you to continue to do this? Because as I see it, you don't make a dime doing any of this. In fact, you keep spending money to do this.
Yeah.
What's driving
you? Currently, all our work at Finance Technologies is pro bono, and we've gotten to the point where our infrastructure has grown, and we're going to have to look for donations to help support that. But eventually, we're going to start a hedge fund. Should we do that? And again, we've been delaying that because of this work. We'll be self-funding. So there's going to be a kind of a bridge. The reason why we do this is because we don't have a world if we don't stop this. I mean, you know, if we don't have a, you know, come to Jesus moment globally where people identify what's just happened and then treat the actual underlying causes of all these injuries, disabilities, and deaths, you know, it's game over. So, you know, if I don't do this and my team doesn't do this, who will? And, you know, I'm not worried about, like, you know, having a great business in 5 years if there's, you know, we don't have the infrastructure to service anything. And if I'm bartering for food, I mean, this it has to be done. So I'm doing it. Other people are doing it. There are other heroes and people brave enough to do this. And, you know, the good news is, I think you can sense it as well. Our website traffic was de minimis when we started at the end of the year. It's up to 500,000 a month. Word is spreading quickly, despite the censorship and the, inadmission of the healthcare authorities. People are realizing that something's gone horribly wrong. And those who don't and continue to live in fantasy land, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those people are going to be left behind. And that's just the way it's going to be. And they're going to continue to boost themselves and die a horrendous death.
Yeah, well said, actually. I mean, it's sad, but I completely agree with what you just said. And I have to think that there's so much pushback now. Even just recently, when I think it was Kaiser Permanente announced a mask mandate in California, and I know Lionsgate Studios announced a mask mandate for their employees, there was so much pushback immediately that both of those organizations reversed course, so they walked it back. In fact, and this was in the Epoch Times, and they said that, well, we never actually issued a mask mandate. That was a misinterpretation. But actually, they did. They just walked it back. But we're seeing now, you know, do not comply everywhere. People say, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to lock down. I'm not going to keep my kid out of school, right? I'm not going to take the jab, whatever. It seems like the authorities may have underestimated the degree of frustration and anger. And I think even the Lahaina fires aftermath, how it's being handled, the lack of information, you know, the ban on drones and photography and all, this is, frankly, it's just pissing people off more and more to where they don't trust any authority at all at this point.
I agree. What we saw in Maui, I live here, was a complete and utter mismanagement of the fires by the local government. Then they tried to cover up and control the information flow, and the local Hawaiians are done, and they're angry, they're simmering, and they don't trust the government. And this is a blue state, so you know things seem to be afoot. Word is spreading about all sorts of government misdeeds, vaccine being one of them. Wars that are ridiculous, that are basically nothing more than grifting exercises where you recycle funds to, you know, those in the Beltway. I mean, that's what the FTX scandal ultimately was about, was money going to oligarchs, money going to Ukraine, and then it would go to the oligarchs. The oligarchs would then give it to FTX. FTX would launder into Democratic campaign coffers. I mean, if you can't see that, I can't help you. You're not living in reality. So this is what we got. We got people realizing, and the awakening seems to be spreading, whether it's mistrust of local authorities, vaccine mandates, mask mandates. People have had enough, and not everybody, you know, sees the world like the way you and I see it, because we have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. But people are starting to realize something's gone horribly wrong, and that's why I'm so adamant about pushing the vaccine awareness. Is because once you show someone that they were lied to in such an epic way, they'll red pill themselves, because red pilling other people is a waste of time. But once they understand, it is. I've tried it, you know, for years, and I finally gave up. But this issue, once they realize what's happened in this issue, they'll go down their own journey of discovery, and they'll, you know, have fun figuring all the rabbit holes you and I have been down that ended up being true. And that's what's currently happening. More and more people that I meet that used to think I was crazy 5 years ago before COVID, because I had an understanding that something was horribly wrong and a financial collapse was coming, thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Now they're asking me my opinion. What should they do? So there seems to be a shift amongst at least a certain segment of our population. But, you know, there's still a lot of sheep, a lot of unaware people that watch CNN every day. I want to give you an anecdote. I have a neighbor who, you know, lives in my neighborhood, and they were on the island the day after the fires watching CNN. When I came home, they asked me, hey, is it like a ghost town out there? I go, no, business as usual. Everyone's out doing everything. There's, the fires are not burning, and all of Maui. Couldn't you go out on your lanai and smell? There was no smoke. See, there was like, this is, there's still a segment of the population that watches the television and don't believe their lying eyes, apparently.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm not surprised at all. That's their reality. It's being projected into their consciousness through CNN. But there's something to bring to your attention. I don't know if you were aware of this, but we reported on this at Natural News, where former business partner Sam Bankman-Fried went public with some details recently and said that SBF wanted to build a vaccine factory with FTX money. Had you ever heard that before?
If that's true, then he seems to be a little more in the club than I thought. I just thought he was a useful idiot. So he obviously, if you're building vaccine factories, you're clearly have more knowledge and connections than you pretend to purport. So that only makes him more of a snake in my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but it was part of his, you know, effective altruism to help the world by building vaccine factories and giving out vaccines to everyone for free, regardless of whether they're safe or effective, or regardless of what's in them. But we are most definitely living in a strange world. So what do you think? Kind of to wrap this up, Ed, you know, you mentioned it's difficult to red pill people, but our audience is red pilled. People watching this, they mostly get it. In your opinion, what should they be focusing on in order to navigate these dark times that we're observing?
So, you know, the battle is within. You have to remain calm. You have to stay out of fear, and you have to take care of yourself and your loved ones and try to drown out the noise and not get into a hopeless despair, because that'll cause anxiety and depression. There's going to be, you know, a cadence to this. It's, the world isn't going to end overnight, nor will it be televised. So continue to live your lives, you know, go to your kids' graduations. If you have a girlfriend, get married, have a kid. You just got to live your life with the understanding that the normalcy bias you may have had is gone, and you have to be able to live in uncertainty and take the punches as they come, but not freak out about them. So it's a struggle within. And then once you get yourself right, take care of your health, take care of your mental well-being, you can help others, because if you don't put the oxygen mask on yourself, you can't help the other people on the plane. That's kind of my advice to those of us that are red-pilled, is, you know, get the mindset correct.
Yeah, exactly. And what would be your message to those who are in the bureaucracy who are complicit in what you and I would probably consider these crimes against humanity that are taking place, you know, the deception and fraud carried out by governments? You know, do you think that there will be a time when some more of these people will turn against the system or blow the whistle, or is there a point where they will have had enough?
Well, those who are in the system that kind of watch shows like yours already are. But if you're new to this show and you're in the bureaucracy as an order taker, what you have to understand is being part of the system isn't going to protect you, because we've already saw that the system poisoned their own. I mean, literally, the bureaucracy poisoned their own order takers. The first responders have been poisoned, the police departments, the military, all the bureaucrats, except it seems in the CDC or the FDA. But everybody else took the jab, and you've already been betrayed. So you might as well start, you know, coming around to the fact that you're not going to be taken care of or protected when things fall apart.
Yeah, well said. Well, let's hope more people heed that warning and maybe work against the system and work to help restore whatever shreds of a constitutional republic we may have left when all of this is over. Do you think America survives this as a constitutional republic, or are we past the tipping point, or are you more optimistic?
I'm optimistic for a renaissance of humanity, whatever form that takes. It'll be great, but I don't know about America. If America's still standing, maybe we can reboot it. But you know, I'm not going to hang on to something that's corrupt that doesn't turn. So we may have to create a new system of our own, whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, I tried to ask the same question to some people on the street in Philadelphia, but they were drooling zombies. And I could not ask that question because of the horrible problems now in our cities. I mean, that's my satirical way of saying, Ed, that I think that many regions of America are too far gone to save. And if there is going to be a renaissance, it's probably going to happen in rural America and maybe spread from there. But the cities are done as far as I can tell.
The cities are an absolute disaster. I mean, we have we blew up all the middle class during COVID. Then they started allowing, you know, there were sanctuary cities beforehand, so criminal elements are in there. Drug use is basically subsidized, especially in San Francisco. They give you needles. I mean, we're creating a population of drug-addled zombies in these cities. And when the food stops coming, Katie barred the door. And you know, if the food trucks stopped coming to New York, they got 3 days worth of food. That gets pretty chaotic pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we're seeing signs of more food scarcity starting to kick in at the wholesale level right now with problems in transportation. It's going to be an interesting ride. But I want to thank you, Ed, for taking the time to join us today. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. Your analysis is spot on, and we appreciate your courage and your love for humanity at the same time. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. And we love what you do as well, getting the word out. I've been watching you for years, so thank you.
We're doing our best here. Yeah, we appreciate you, Ed. And folks, be sure to check out Ed's book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. And Ed, real quick, is there any other website that you want to mention here before we let you go?
Yeah, all our up-to-date research is at financetechnologies.com, spelled with a PH. We literally have all the receipts. We are quickly becoming the go-to guys and gals on this issue from a Wall Street analytical point of view. And you know, the people that are visiting our website are from all sorts of different institutions. So that's the good news. They may not be talking out loud about what we're saying, but they're looking at our data.
All right. Yeah, we're bringing up your website right here so people can be sure to spell it correctly. Finance Technologies, but spelled PHI. So there you go. That's the website. Check it out, folks. And I think you will be amazed at what you find there. So thank you so much, Ed. Always a pleasure speaking with you. God bless you and be safe there in Maui, and keep us posted.
You got it, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Have a great day. And thank all of you for watching. Of course, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms. You have our permission, and just give Ed Dowd credit at his website there. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. We appreciate your support in just supporting what we do here, which is getting the truth out so that humanity might have a future. Well, I think the good news is I agree with Ed. You know, those of us who are well-informed, we are hard to kill, by the way. We're very resilient. The government may be successful in killing off sort of the low-hanging fruit of the oblivious masses. Not a lot of them are going to make it, but us, totally different story. We're hard to kill, and that's all by design. Thanks for watching today. Mike Adams here at Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody. Thank you for supporting HealthRangerStore.com, and we've got some solutions to bring to your attention today. We have first aid, colloidal silver gel, and also a liquid deodorant product. I've got both of them on my desk here to show you. Yeah, right next to our new knives, by the way, that are coming out shortly. But the first aid silver gel is made using Texas rainwater with colloidal silver, using electronics that I designed with silver plates to actually produce the ionic silver. And then that's combined with 7 essential oils to make a topical, kind of a natural liquid bandage using xanthan gum as the thickener, by the way, that is excellent for topical use for, you know, minor cuts and scrapes, things like that. I use it all the time. I use it, you know, to heal my finger when I had that horrible laceration accident where I almost lost my finger. So that helped me. And, you know, I never suffered an infection, anything like that. I never even got stitches, and it's healed up almost with a, you can barely see the scar now, actually. It's quite remarkable. We also have liquid deodorant there, which is using magnesium and other minerals, including silver, and also sodium bicarbonate in that formula. So there's no aluminum in there. We don't use aluminum ingredients of any kind, which is what mainstream deodorants use, to poison your sweat pores and to block sweat from coming out. And that's largely how they work, is by poisoning your body. We don't rely on any of that at all. So if you want to use a natural deodorant, that's something you can check out. You can get these at healthrangerstore.com. Also want to bring your attention to the satellite phone store, SAT123.com. I've got that up on my screen now. Just want to give you a heads up that they are getting hit by this hurricane in Florida right now, and one of their offices is in Tampa. So they're not going to be able to answer their phones probably for a few days. And they're out there actually giving out phones to first responders so that people can have, you know, communications even when the cell towers are down and not working because of the hurricane, obviously. But long-term, the satellite phone store offers solutions that can really save lives, not just backup communications with satellites, but also they have, of course, solar generators. So they sell the solar panels and the generators with the lithium-ion batteries, the charge controllers, and the inverters, so you can have off-grid electricity to charge your own devices. So be sure to check them out at SAT123.com. All right, that's just a sobering conversation with Ed Dowd. I really want to thank him for taking the time to join us with his ideas and thoughts about what's going on. And I think he's right on almost every point that he emphasized there. You know, we are in real trouble in this country. It doesn't look like we're going to turn things around. And I even ask, you know, you suppose that Trump gets elected, suppose that the deep state gets crushed, you know, suppose that the rule of law is restored. How do you overcome the fact that literally half the country, the left half, the Democrat half, they are dedicated to lawlessness? The Democrat judges are dedicated to lawlessness and cheating. They will not uphold the rule of law. You know, how do you overcome the fact that most of the country, especially the younger generations, refuse to work? They don't believe they should have to work. They are hyper-privileged, most of them. And they think that they should just be given money to be consumers, not producers. How do you overcome that? And how do you overcome the damage that has already been done psychologically to so many children with the LGBT indoctrination in the school system and the genital mutilation of children? How do you ever overcome that? Not in generations can you undo all of that damage. And that doesn't even count the damage caused by the vaccine jabs themselves, which will cause, of course, millions more to die, infertility, disabilities, you know, cognitive decline, neurodevelopmental disorders, and so much more. The damage has been done. And even as was pointed out to me by another guest I interviewed last week, on the money printing side, the damage has already been done. How do you pull back all that money creation? You can't. I mean, not easily. I know you can raise interest rates and try to cause economic contractions, but you can't undo all the money that you've created and unleashed into the system, which is causing inflation and, you know, causing people to be unable to afford groceries and rent and things like that. So much damage has already been done. Another example is the destruction of the energy infrastructure, you know, shutting down refineries, shutting down pipelines. You don't just turn a refinery back on overnight. It's like, oh, it's good. Let's flip the switch. It's all good. No, when you shut down refineries, that's done permanently. And to build a new refinery and get it back online, you know, that's a decade project. Maybe more when you talk about design and construction. And by the way, who's going to do the construction? Who's left in America that wants to even work anymore? You know, it's no American wants to expend effort on labor, not in anything that might cause them to sweat, you know, or to have to expend, you know, real physical effort or labor. You know, it's not part of the American culture anymore. So I don't know how you undo all this damage, including the white guilt that's been pushed across our culture as part of the engineered race wars, by the way. As you know, the establishment is always trying to get white people and black people to hate each other and attack each other. And here's a story that was covered by Steve Watson out of Summit.news. Parent slams California school for holding no whites allowed kids play date. The poster for this, a screenshot, says play date social for August 26, which has already passed, and the subhead says, for black, brown, and API families. So, what? Black, brown, and API families. Let's see. A parent at a California elementary school has slammed officials for sanctioning a play date for kids that segregated them by race, and it excluded white children. If your family identifies as Black, Brown, or API, or are a parent slash caregiver of a Black, Brown, or API student, I'm not sure yet what API stands for, but I guess we'll find out. Come hang out while we get a chance to know each other and build our community as we kick off this school year. This is the invite to the event. And by the way, the invitation is full of typos because, of course, you know, the education system has failed even those running it. It was hosted by the Equity and Inclusion Committee at the school, and apparently nobody thought that was ironic that the Inclusion Committee would exclude white kids. So, you know, a parent blasted them on social media. I'm genuinely upset about what ultimately boils down to a no whites allowed play date. Why are we continuing to segregate people, let alone kids? I feel like the people posting this are just a bunch of privileged white and white adjacent parents who have zero connection to true socioeconomic diversity, right? So here you have, you know, inclusive people arguing with inclusive people about which people should be excluded because racism is now one of the pillars of society that's pushed by the radical left that's, of course, tearing this country apart. And speaking of race, by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did an interview with, let's see, Jason Whitlock, I believe. Yeah, Fearless with Jason Whitlock, and he was asked about COVID. I'm not going to play the video here, but listen to what RFK Jr. says because he's 100% accurate, and this is about COVID being used to mass murder blacks in America. Okay, so this is the answer that he gave. Quote, "Why wouldn't you ask that question? Tell us why blacks in Haiti were dying at only 1/200th the rate of blacks in America. And yet we predicted," he's talking about America, "predicted that blacks in Haiti would die at 10 times the rate of blacks in America. Why didn't it work out that way?" Well, one of the reasons, he says, is you take poor people, you put them in a hospital, you don't allow their family to visit, so nobody's watching what's happening, and then you're paying the hospitals per COVID death. And he goes on. And what he's essentially explaining, which is absolutely true, is that the COVID genocide that took place in America literally murdered blacks for money. The hospital systems murdered blacks. Now, it wasn't only blacks. Obviously, they murdered, well, everybody. They murdered whites and Asians and everybody else, Latinos as well. But they also murdered blacks for money. And again, if vaccines save people and lack of vaccines got you killed, then where are all the dead bodies in Haiti? They don't exist. The death rate in Haiti was nothing different from normal. Whereas the death rate and the injury rate in America, among black populations as well, since COVID injections were introduced, has been skyrocketing, as you heard in my interview with Ed Dowd. Okay, in other major breaking news that does affect the future of our country, Greg Kelly, who is, I believe, with Newsmax, I think I had inadvertently said Fox News in a previous segment or previous interview, but I think he's with Newsmax. He has a video. He's on top of some audio. That's what he's announcing in this video I'm going to play for you. He's announcing there's audio of Joe Biden essentially just blatantly admitting to bribery, you know, corruption, bribery, total criminality. And that this audio tape is going to come out, he says, before Halloween or on Halloween. So let's give a listen to this. It's a little over 1 minute. Let's hear Greg Kelly explain this.
Has a big mouth and it got him into a lot of trouble, but he hasn't seen the half of it yet. There is an audio tape, I am told, by people in the know, not necessarily in government, not necessarily out of government. I can't say too much. But there is incontrovertible evidence of Joe Biden's corruption that is about to be made public. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen before Labor Day, but it will happen sometime between Labor Day and Halloween. This tape will be made public. I'm not sure by what entity at this point, but once it is heard, Joe Biden will have, well, he'll have only two options. Number one, he will not be able to remain a candidate for the presidency for re-election. It will be over and done with. The only thing that he might be able to do, potentially, but probably not, is remain as president. I am told this tape is that incriminating.
All right, so what do you think about that? Well, let me add to this. Breitbart.com News. National Archives has about 5,400 emails and records linked to Joe Biden's email aliases. So this was revealed by the House Oversight Committee just yesterday. And there are aliases that Joe Biden set up in as, you know, various email names. Robert Peters was one of them. Robin Ware. How about Robin America? Robin us all. JRB Ware, that was another one. And these email aliases were reportedly used to share government information and discuss business with Hunter Biden and his associates, according to the Southeastern Legal Foundation, which filed a lawsuit to compel the agency to turn over the emails. Well, the National Archives is refusing to turn over these emails, but they have confirmed that there are nearly 5,400 emails in possession that use these aliases. So here's a question. Why would the vice president at the time, Joe Biden, under Barack Obama, why would he be using email aliases instead of his real name in his emails? And of course, because he was carrying out activities of corruption, lawless, you know, bribery, corruption, kickbacks, you know the deal, from Ukraine and Burisma and others. And now we know that there is audio, at least according to Greg Kelly, and this audio is going to come out. Now, I ask you this question. Do you remember when Andrew Breitbart said that he had a video on Obama that was going to end Obama's presidency? Remember that? I don't remember what year that was, but, you know, obviously it was during the Obama administration. And you remember what happened to Andrew Breitbart? They killed him. They killed him within, I think, 48 hours. And they killed him with a weapon that can cause heart attacks, by the way. It's a, I forgot the name of the weapon, but it's an electromagnetic pulse weapon that can be fired at a distance and can cause you to have a fatal heart attack. And that's what they did. They just stalked him and they shot him with the weapon. He had a heart attack and died. And then the Obama presidency went on to carry out, you know, tremendous evil against America. Remember, it was Obama that handed over drone technology to Iran by landing an American military drone in Tehran. Remember that? And you notice how today Iran is the key manufacturer of the drones used by Russia against Ukraine and NATO troops. Yeah, that was an Obama special right there. Obama gave that technology to Iran, as you say. Obama also arranged for two U.S. Navy boats to be captured by Iran so that they could take possession of the military communications decryption equipment on board those boats. And that also created an incident where American naval personnel were humiliated and forced to publicly state that they violated the ocean space of Iran. And again, this was all organized by Obama, plus Obamacare and plus Operation Fast and Furious, gun running operations and everything. Obama's goal has always been the destruction of the United States of America. And Joe Biden was the perfect vice president because he was just milking the system for personal profit the whole time, not giving a crap that America was being destroyed. In fact, he seemed to be along with that agenda as he's doing today. I think Barack Obama is still running Joe Biden to this day. By the way, it seems kind of obvious because Joe ain't running Joe. Somebody else is running Joe. It's probably Barack Hussein. So when you look at all of this and you remember that they killed Andrew Breitbart for having something that would have ended the Obama presidency, what do you think's going to happen right now that Greg Kelly put this out there saying that, you know, sometime before Halloween, this audio is going to come out and it's going to end Joe Biden's presidency? You know what I say? I say whoever possesses that is already dead, because the deep state's going to get you. They're going to kill you and they're going to bury this. You don't pre-announce that you have something that's going to end the presidency of a corrupt criminal empire with a deep state that's also totally corrupt and just a total criminal operation that carries out assassinations to protect their people in office. You don't pre-announce that. That's stupidity. You know, I mean, with apologies to Greg Kelly, I'm not trying to be condescending to him. He's talking about somebody else has this audio. Somebody, obviously, that he's been in touch with. And they say they're going to release it before Halloween. I don't think so. I think they're going to be dead before Halloween. That's what I think. So, people, for God's sake, you're stupid to pre-announce that you're going to release this. You don't do that. You just release it. You don't tell anybody until you release it. That's the only way this is ever going to get out, most likely. So I doubt, Mr. Greg Kelly, even though this is a compelling report, and I'm glad you're on America's side here, but I very much doubt we're ever going to hear this audio. And even if this audio does come out, guess what the mainstream media will say? They'll say, oh, it's deep fake audio. It's not even real. It's been doctored. And by doctored, they mean that it's only a snippet of audio. Like, there was a longer piece of audio, maybe an hour, and then you're only playing 2 minutes. Therefore, it's doctored, and therefore they can discredit it, just like they discredited Hunter Biden's laptop. Remember that? And then Hillary Clinton whipped up, like, 15 intelligence agencies all agree this is Russian propaganda. There is no laptop. There is nothing. It's all Russia, Russia, Russia. And they got away with that to help rig the election in 2020. Remember that? So even if this audio comes out, I don't think it's going to end any Biden presidency or fake presidency. In fact, I don't think the people on the left give a crap that Joe Biden is a crook, that he takes bribes, that he committed treason, that he gets people killed for money. I don't think they give a crap because the typical Democrat shares those same twisted values. The typical Democrat believes in child mutilations, child trafficking, open borders. They let violent offenders free. Oh, you rape somebody? Well, let's put you back on the street. The typical Democrat agrees with the criminals. And Joe Biden's a criminal, and that's why they love him as their president. He reflects the values of the left in America today. So I don't think there's going to be some giant wake-up call like Joe Biden's on tape saying how he took $25 million and he shut down the investigation and he funneled it to Hunter. He could say it all without any equivocation whatsoever. Just like, yeah, we did this and we did that and here's where we deposit. Wouldn't matter one bit to the left. They would listen to that and they would say, good job, Joe. You got to work the system. You got to rig the system. That's how we stay in power, because that's what Democrats believe. If the rule of law even applied in this country, Joe Biden wouldn't be in the White House anyway. The DOJ would have to arrest itself. You know, the rule of law is gone. The Constitutional Republic, it's a distant shadow in the rearview mirror of history. It doesn't even exist anymore. The court system doesn't function. There's no system of justice. There's no free press. There's no free speech. There's no First Amendment remaining in this country. So don't think that this is going to magically end the Joe Biden presidency unless the deep state wants it to. Now, granted, if they want to get him out of the way, then this would be a convenient opportunity to do it. And maybe they do. Maybe they're done with Joe. Maybe Joe's just too much of an embarrassment. You know, shuffling around on the beach, shirtless, in his flip-flops, mumbling something about how he had a house fire once and his kitchen almost caught on fire. But he doesn't want to talk about Maui or anything. He's just an embarrassment to, frankly, to the human race. And he makes America look weak and incompetent. Just not a good way to project power internationally. So maybe the DOD and the deep state, people in positions of power, maybe they're done with Joe. And they might use this to get rid of him. That's a possibility. But I ask you this question. Who would they put in his place? And I don't just mean Kamala. Temporarily, Kamala, what a joke. Wasn't she a floozy hanging on to the arm of, what was the TV host's name? Was it Williams? What was his name? She's a floozy. I mean, she slept her way into positions of power in California. She's a low IQ joke. You know, she would make America look even dumber than Joe Biden has managed to accomplish, if that's even possible. But so they know Kamala's not the choice. So who would they be choosing next? Newsom? You know, Governor Newsom is perhaps, I mean, he's got the right level of evil and Satanism and corruption. I mean, they've got all kinds of blackmail on him for all his money laundering during COVID, you know, sending $1 billion to China and having it laundered back into his own private, you know, gold stash and ammunition, and, you know, paying off other bureaucrats and press across California. I mean, that's the whole operation in California. It's all just a giant money laundering operation for the benefit of the elite, you know, which is the, you know, the Pelosi family and the Getty family and whatever, the Newsom family. It's been a giant racket for decades there. So maybe Newsom is evil enough to be the next Democrat nominee for president. But can Newsom actually win when the voting public looks at California? Is California a shining example of good governance? I mean, have you seen San Francisco lately? You know, have you seen Sacramento? Have you seen Los Angeles? The state, at least the portions run by Democrats, are collapsing into financial ruin and like a zombie land of destruction and a dystopian sci-fi collapse of lawlessness and Mad Max. Is that a good example for what we want for America? Yeah, let's turn the whole country into California. You realize how many people would reject Newsom? Now, I hear what you're saying. You might be saying, well, it doesn't matter. They're going to rig it anyway. They just need a puppet to rig it. Well, you do have a point, admittedly, but they can only rig it so much. There's a point where the rigging can't even compensate for, you know, if there's an outpouring of Americans voting to reject the Democrats because they're suffering so much, because food prices are so unaffordable, and the border's wide open, and there's so much crime in the streets, and just everything's falling apart, which is what's happening in America today. There could be such an outpouring of rejection of the Democrat policies that even the great Democrat cheating machines might not be able to out-cheat the wave of rejection. And that's what panics the Democrats. I mean, they know they're going to cheat. You know, Joe Biden bragged about the most advanced, you know, vote rigging infrastructure in American history. He bragged about that before the election. It wasn't even a secret. He just said it out loud like he occasionally does. Whatever he's been briefed on, like, Mr. Biden, we have the most advanced vote rigging system in America. So he just repeats that in front of the media, and the media just refuses to report it. But he said that. But even then, the system has limits. And from what I'm seeing right now, if the 2024 election actually takes place, the Democrats are going to take a real beating from the voters. In fact, you know, I asked Ed Dowd, as you heard in the interview, this very question: do you think we're going to have an election in 2024? And as you heard, he's not sure that we're going to, because the Democrats can't allow an election based on the way the American people feel right now, because the Democrats will be rejected, rejected, rejected at every level, national, state, county, you name it. The American people, at least most Americans, are fed up with the Democrats. Now, in the blue cities, those people who live there, by and large, they still want to suffer some more. They enjoy authoritarianism and collapse and, you know, drug-addicted zombies on the streets everywhere. They enjoy, for whatever reason, violent criminals running loose. This is the kind of society they choose to live in. Well, okay, if you vote Democrat, don't be surprised what happens to you. I mean, Hawaii, sadly, just learned that lesson the hard way, right? If you vote for tyranny, you're going to get tyranny. I mean, that's what happened. Sadly, yeah, they're going to kill you. They're going to grab your land and kill your children because you put Democrats in power. What did you expect was going to happen? These are killers. They kill babies proudly as their policy. It's the platform of the DNC. We kill babies. Why should you be surprised when they kill your babies? You see? I mean, just to be blunt about it, It's very sad. It's horrifying. It's evil. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but elections do have consequences, folks. Be careful what you support, because if you support tyrants and if you support censorship, these are weapons that are going to be used against you. If you support killers, don't be surprised when they come killing for you. If you support lunatics that destroy economies, don't be surprised when your economic outlook gets destroyed at the same time. Do not be surprised. Vote for the future that you want to live in. Vote for the principles that are reflected in the individuals. And maybe if they mostly keep their word, and if we hold the bureaucrats' feet to the fire and hold them accountable, and maybe, just maybe, if we vote out about 90% of the United States Congress, you know, like just vote the bums out wholesale, just new blood in Congress, maybe we have a chance. But I doubt it, just to be honest with you. I doubt it. I don't think this constitutional republic has a chance at all. I think it's done. Like I said earlier, I don't think we can reverse the damage that has already been inflicted upon this nation. You're already starting to see the chaos unfolding. Here's a story from lawenforcementtoday.com. From Washington to California, massive violent incidents spread involving, quote, large groups of juveniles. Sunday evening saw three separate incidents involving large numbers of juveniles across two states, resulting in injuries and arrest. One was in Los Angeles County, California. The other was, agencies called to the Del Amo Fashion Center, described as a large group of juveniles who are fighting amongst themselves. One gunshot rang out during the fights. Video footage shows dozens of juveniles punching and kicking each other, and blood can be seen on the ground. Another incident occurred in California in the Bay Area's Emeryville. 300 juveniles broke out into a fight near a movie theater at the Bay Street Mall. Wow, 300 juveniles. Several small fights from within the hundreds of teens broke out. Multiple agencies responded. The mall was evacuated and so on. You notice the media isn't reporting the race of these juveniles involved in these fights. So yeah, you know what the race is. It's the race that shall not be mentioned when it comes to violence. So here we have the collapse of the rule of law. You're seeing this in youth across many states and many cities, that when they have the opportunity, they're going to engage in mass violence. And also, by the way, robberies, you know, shoplifting, robberies, carjackings, hijackings, home invasions, more and more. So just as Ed Dowd said, he said the cities could collapse into a Mad Max type scenario where the cities are run by warlords, not even by mayors or governors or police, but warlords. And I've predicted, as you know, here in this podcast, that at some point the cities will be abandoned by the governors and the police and city councils and what have you. They'll just be abandoned. It'll just be sort of, this is a no-go zone. And whatever happens inside, we can't control. And then it'll just be taken over by the warlords. Ed Dowd is correct. And those warlords will, of course, you know, run the drugs, run the human trafficking, the prostitution, the weapons trafficking, all of it. And they will pay protection fees to Governor Newsom or whoever's the governor of the liberal state. They'll pay protection fees. So the governor, Newsom in this case, gets a percentage of all the human trafficking, gun trafficking, drug trafficking, child prostitution, whatever. You know, there's going to be a kickback to Newsom. And folks, if you don't know how the real world works, I'm sorry for you. But this is reality that I'm describing here. This is how it actually works, okay? The governor gets a kickback of all the crimes that take place. And in exchange for that kickback, then the area would just be safe as a no-go zone for police. The police would be ordered out of there so that the criminal activities can continue to take place. I mean, this is what's happening with the border, by the way. So the drug traffickers right now that use the open border in California and other places, you know, they pay a percentage to the political elite in California, right? And they pay that in campaign donations in many cases. So you wonder where the campaign money comes from to keep electing Democrats in California. People, it's drug money. It's human trafficking money. There's an arrangement. I mean, you've heard Jeffrey Prather talk about the corruption of the DEA. I mean, found out, you know, he worked for the DEA, I believe. I know DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, but he had interactions with the DEA. I think for a time he was with the DEA. And he talked about the DEA runs the drugs. The DEA decides who to prosecute and who to allow. And all of that is determined by arrangements. It's payoffs, okay? It's just like Joe Biden is apparently admitting to. It's all about payoffs. And it's all about corruption. And in California, the political elite, they get the payoffs. And then those drug cartels are allowed basically free access across the border. They won't be hassled. They won't be arrested. If some like little local yokel sheriff somewhere does arrest them, don't worry, the governor will get them out. They have legal immunity. They can operate with impunity in the state of California because they pay a percentage to the governor and, you know, other politicians that run the state of California. You know, no, I mean, Kamala Harris, come on. What do you think her whole background was in California? Looking the other way about the criminal cartels. It made her the perfect vice president for a corrupt regime running the whole country into the ground. You know, it's time the American people took off the blinders and realized what's really going on. Take off the blinders, you realize, you know, Sound of Freedom movie, human trafficking is real. Child sex trafficking is real. It's time to realize all of this. The fires that burned out the 1,000-plus children in Lahaina on Maui. Yeah, it was all deliberate. It's a giant land grab. It was done on purpose. It's time to take off the blinders and stop apologizing for the tyrants and killers that claim to be your representatives in Washington, D.C. They are not your friends. They are not your representatives. They are not even elected most of the time. That's why they don't represent the people. They were never even elected by the people. They were, quote, elected through vote rigging, and their only allegiance is to those who funded their campaigns and carried out the vote rigging, which is usually the same people that have blackmail on all of these people. You know, the senators and governors and members of Congress or whoever, most of them have a giant blackmail file of stuff that could be used against them and keeps them in line. Like, you know, if you don't vote this way on this, you know, Ukraine aid, then guess what? We're going to release these photos of you with the, you know, 15 underage girls in a bar, whatever they have on these people. Because most of them are corrupt. Most of them are wicked. Most of them are completely immoral. I mean, they're just horrible, evil people. And this is who's running our country. And it's time to just be freaking honest about it. Your nation is run by demonic crooks. They do engage in bribery. They do engage in human trafficking and rape and child sacrifice and adrenochrome and blood harvesting, the whole deal. It's all true. And it's time to choose a different future, which is what Ed Dowd is talking about and what I advocate. Choose a different future. For God's sake, stop electing Democrats to office and stop electing Rhino Republicans to office. Stop being a sucker for the uniparty system that's all about them and never about you. They don't give rat's ass, pardon my language, about the American people. And it's time to stop voting for these crooks over and over and over again. It's just the same crooks, whether their last name is Bush or Cheney or Obama or Biden or Clinton, all the same crooks, except not Trump. Trump's not in that category. He's not perfect, but he's not one of them. That's for dang sure. It's time to choose a new future. All right, I want to wrap this up with a special report about the hurricane that's making landfall today in Florida. And of course, I'm offering prayers and, you know, blessings, prayers for the safety of all the people who are impacted by this. And reminding all of us to check out our own preparedness plans and our bug out bags and all the rest. So I've got that special report coming up. And I just want to say right here that any of us could be targeted at any time with fires, with tornadoes, with earthquakes, with hurricanes, with droughts, with floods, and all of these things. The genius of these weapon systems is that they all are designed to look like Mother Nature. But the weapons are inflicted upon us with a specific purpose. Why do you think Lahaina was targeted with the wildfires? Well, because of the real estate value, the property. Somebody wants that real estate, and they're going to get it. The land grab is underway. Why is Florida being targeted right now? Because of Governor DeSantis. And the fact that DeSantis refuses to go along with the COVID nonsense and a lot of the DOJ nonsense and the ATF nonsense and so on. Texas is going to be targeted. Conservative states will be targeted. Farmers will be targeted. Refineries and fossil fuel industry infrastructure will be targeted. Remember, we are living behind enemy lines, and our so-called government is a terrorist organization engaging in widespread sabotage operations to shut down food and energy infrastructure in the United States of America because they treat the USA and its people as enemy combatants. That's the straight truth. They treat we the people as enemy combatants. They are not on our side. They are not on America's side. They don't believe in America. They are there to destroy America. So be ready for everything that they're going to throw our direction. Be ready for it all. Fires, floods, droughts, famine. Oh, and the next plandemic that they're going to launch, which is probably going to have a hemorrhagic fever component so people bleed out of their eyeballs all over the evening news. Yeah, that's coming too. There's nothing they won't throw at us to try to terrorize the American people into obedience and compliance. They will mass murder people. They do it routinely. They've sacrificed almost 400,000 Ukrainian men to try to destroy Russia, by the way, and expand NATO and expand the bio labs. Up to 400,000, at least approaching that, young Ukrainian men have lost their lives because of this. That's how little the governments care about the people. They will sacrifice a million lives or multiple millions, whatever it takes, for their power and their control. They are terrorist organizations pretending to be governments. That's what they are, and it's now abundantly obvious to more and more people all over the world. So give a listen to the special report about the hurricane and take every precaution to be prepared for what they're going to throw at us next. Thank you for listening. At the time this podcast goes live, a new hurricane is hitting the west coast of the Florida Peninsula, you know, Tampa area and north of Tampa, I believe. And it's supposed to be a potentially quite a devastating hurricane. No doubt power lines are going to be down, buildings are going to be destroyed, a lot of flooding, of course. A storm surge of predicted between 8 and 12 feet in some areas is going to flood into the coastal homes and businesses and cause a lot of water damage. And even worse, this is the second hurricane to hit that area, almost the same exact area. Well, not exactly, but close. Normally, the western peninsula of Florida doesn't get direct hits by hurricanes. Most of the hurricanes, of course, approach from the eastern side. So to have two hurricanes hit on the west is, you know, near Tampa is very, very unusual. So, of course, we offer prayers for safety and for a rapid recovery for all those people in Florida who might be affected by this. Now, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, has an office right in the path of this hurricane. In fact, their office was hit by the last hurricane that came through, or it was not a direct hit, but it was within the spiral arms of the hurricane. So there was some damage and there was flooding. And the Satellite Phone Store had handed out lots and lots of satellite phones to first responders in the area. We did an interview with one man who was helping to rescue victims that got him into a building where there were, you know, food and water supplies and things like that. So I do want you to know that the Satellite Phone Store, if you're trying to call them, their Tampa office is not going to be functional. And they're going to be busy out there helping people and handing out sat phones for law enforcement or first responders and people like that to use. So just give them a little bit of patience. If you're trying to get a sat phone, they're just not going to be able to to help you for probably a week, or I don't know, a few days. Anyway, they're going to do their best. But, you know, if you want to help support them and their efforts to deal with emergencies, and they also, they had sat phones in the hands of people who responded to the fires in Maui, you know, after the fires. So if you do want to support them, of course, their website is SAT123.com, and they offer, you know, outstanding sat phones and satellite text messaging devices. It's just, don't expect them to respond anytime soon. Now, for the rest of us watching this, because very unlikely that people in Tampa are going to be listening to this. Now, for the rest of us who are not in the area that's going to be hit by this hurricane, or maybe you're not at least taking a direct hit, this is a critical reminder for preparedness. Because, as you've seen, the government is the terrorist now. And the government is trying to kill you, trying to starve you, trying to destroy the economy, trying to shut down the energy infrastructure. And some people believe that this hurricane was, in fact, steered directly into Florida as a way to punish DeSantis and the conservatives in Florida, and maybe to interfere with the DeSantis presidential campaign, which, frankly, it wasn't that successful anyway. But some people believe this has been steered into Florida. Whether that's true or not, we do know that the fires in Lahaina in Maui, the conditions were allowed to emerge by the government. And the government called off, you know, the fire department and turned off the water and turned off the sirens and all these things. And now they're building black fences so nobody can see what's going on in there. This is some great cover-up underway now as they're, I guess, extricating the bodies of burned children from homes. And they don't want any journalists to see that because, you know, in America, you're not allowed to conduct actual disaster journalism unless the government wants you to. So they have the National Guard out there, actual military troops, enforcing no photography, no drones, no videos, not allowed. So that's the cover-up underway in Lahaina. But it's just one example of how the government has become a terrorist organization running all kinds of operations against the American people, including COVID, by the way, and the biological weapons in the needles, i.e. the depopulation jabs, which are, of course, designed to mass murder people, designed to achieve depopulation. And yes, they have another plandemic underway. They're rolling out, you know, the masking. They're rolling out the narrative. They're telling you, be afraid, be afraid. You know, another election is coming. You know, this is the election variant, BS 24/7, that they're rolling out right now. So it's critical to understand that we are under attack. And as a result, any of us, no matter where we are, could be hit by some act of government terrorism. They could unleash fires against us on purpose, you know, directed energy weapons. They could cause droughts, which is what's happening. That's been happening in the Midwest. They could potentially steer hurricanes to decide where they want them to make landfall in order to achieve maximum economic damage or to damage the energy infrastructure or damage the fertilizer industries. You know, there's a major fertilizer provider in Florida that's also in the path of this hurricane right now. So there they are disrupting the food supply again. You know, the government can, they can dress up FBI agents as, you know, radicalized conservatives, and they can have them run around, and they can blow up bridges. They can set fire to buildings or derail trains or shoot up power substations or anything that they want to do that they want to blame on, quote, extremism. They're the extremists. They're the terrorists. They're the ones running around causing all these problems. But as a result, you and I have to be prepared for anything. We have to be prepared for every scenario, including cyber attacks. That giant cyber false flag hasn't yet been unleashed, but it may happen soon. Or financial attacks. You know, oh, your bank is down. All the banks are down. It's under attack from Russia or whatever the narrative is going to be. Or the power grid going down. Because, of course, we saw the media narrative on that over the last few months where they were saying, oh, watch out, you know, it's going to be blackouts. And then the Biden administration made sure there were going to be blackouts by shutting down the energy infrastructure, you know, forcing coal-fired power plants to shut down, leaving a lot of areas with a lot more reliance on just wind and solar. And wind is just flat out not very reliable. You know, we saw that the other day in Texas, had a grid emergency in Texas because there was no wind. And so the, I don't know how, what percentage, maybe 25% or maybe one third or something of the power on any given day in Texas comes from wind. You can actually go to the ERCOT website, E-R-C-O-T, and you can see the percentages right there. They do a real-time analysis, how much is wind, how much is solar, how much is fossil fuel. So you can see the actual number. And it varies day by day, obviously, based on, well, the velocity of the wind. Well, when the velocity of the wind is zero, you get nothing. Unlike coal-fired power plants where you can just shovel in more coal and crank them up. You know, you can scale fossil fuels. You can't scale wind on demand. It's whatever the wind is blowing at whatever, you know, speed it wants to blow, and that's it. That's all you get. Same thing with sunlight. You can't turn up the sun and get more solar power. You only get the power that the sun is emitting. And there could be bad weather. There could be clouds. There could be rain. It could be night. It could be winter where the sun is barely even striking the solar panels. The angle of incidence is bad, and you hardly get any power. You see what I mean? So you got to have fossil fuels in your power grid in order to have electricity that you can count on when you need it. But that's beside the point. You and I need to get ready for more acts of terrorism against we the people. And those acts of terrorism could come from any vector, like I mentioned, you know, finance, power grid, you name it. So take this opportunity with this big hurricane hitting Florida, take this opportunity to go through your preparedness list. Do you have a way to generate electricity or to store electricity with solar panels? Do you have a solar generator? Do you have an off-grid water supply or a water filter? Because in Florida, they're going to have tons of water, too much water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink because it's all polluted. You got to filter it. So do you have a water filter where you can take water off the street and make it drinkable? Do you know how to do that? Do you have the equipment to do that? If not, let this be a reminder. What about self-defense? You know, following these events, these disasters, you get a lot of looters. This is happening in Lahaina, by the way. This is going to happen probably in Tampa. And, you know, hopefully the police in Florida will have the courage to crack down on looters and, you know, handcuff them and arrest them and prosecute them, but they can't catch them all. So they're going to be looters. Well, how do you protect your home, your business, your inventory, or whatever you have to protect? Well, you know, guess what? Yeah, it's an AR-15, you know, a couple of Glocks, some spare magazines, a ballistic vest, you know, night vision, just the whole getup right there. That's how you do it. And you send looters, you know, straight to hell where they belong if they break into your place, you know. I mean, that's your choice, obviously. That's just my opinion. I don't have any tolerance for looters. But if you want to tolerate looters and risk your life, that's your choice. But I wouldn't. I would send them straight to hell. But you need to make sure you have all that gear. And also, as we've learned with the Lahaina fires and also the hurricane that's striking Florida right now and many other disasters, is you can't assume that you can stay home. You may have to bug out. And so you need a whole set of all your stuff in a bug out configuration. And if you don't have a bug out configuration and a bug out plan, you know, a bug out vehicle with the bags already packed and all that, then maybe that's the thing that you need to work on right now. So it's a good idea. Take this time, go through all your preparedness and survival supplies, swap out all the batteries in the flashlights, in the night vision, you know, in the red dot optics on your rifles or whatever. Swap out all the batteries. Just put fresh batteries in right now. Cycle out all the food that you have in there. Get fresh food in there right now. You know, especially if the food you've had prepared is a few years old. You know, use that food and cycle it. Now double check that you've got water filters both at home and in your bug out vehicle. Just go through your bug out collection and make sure you've got everything you need. Now, there's something you're going to want to add, and I didn't record this to do this plug, but it just came to mind, that I am the co-designer of a line of new rugged knives. These are manufactured by Dawson Knives on their new equipment in their new facility in Arizona. And like I said, I'm the co-designer, and they're branded Health Ranger Survival Gear, HRSG. And they have an innovative new way to connect these to your belt. I'm going to show you all that on videos. There are three knives that are coming out starting this Thursday, which is our Labor Day event at healthrangerstore.com. It's confirmed we're going to have the knives available. They're all in stock. We have, I don't know how many hundreds of each of these knives available. There's a bushcrafting knife called Mass Ratio. There's a combat knife called Resonance. And then there's a much smaller kind of covert knife that I think I named it Consequences. I think that's the name. I just came up with whatever names seem to make sense to me. Like, nobody names their knives the way that I have, for whatever reason. But I thought this knife just looked like Consequences, man. So anyway, you'll be able to see the knives on the website. These knives are made out of MagnaCut alloy steel, which is highly corrosion resistant. So it's very suitable for marine or, you know, ocean, like water type of environments. It's perfect for Florida. You can store this knife on a boat. You can store this knife in a high humidity environment. It's not going to oxidize and rust like other typical knives do. It's not 100% corrosion resistant, but it's about the same as stainless steel, which is very corrosion resistant. And yet, MagnaCut steel is very strong. It's flexible. It holds an edge. It's sharp, but it has the flexibility that makes it a great knife. Anyway, if you don't have a really good knife in your kit, you could consider adding one of these. They are a few hundred dollars each. They're not cheap. It's not, the steel isn't cheap. The manufacturing is not cheap. The knife sheath is extremely high end. Wait till you see it. It's just so innovative. Nobody in the industry has this. But my point is, go through your supplies. Do you have iodine? And do you have first aid? Do you have, you know, like a colloidal silver first aid gel? Or do you have chlorine dioxide tablets? Make sure you add that to your kit. You got to have chlorine dioxide. You know, because as a topical treatment and a water purifier, it's just flat out amazing. And in the little tablets that you can get from that company called Safrax, Safrax.com, you can get a bag of those tablets. I think it's 500 tablets for somewhere around $30. It's like, it's a no-brainer, man. Get those and make that part of your preparedness kit. Make that part of your bug-out kit. You know, you can purify water with those tablets through the use of chlorine dioxide. Or you can make a spray solution that will kill, you know, monkeypox and COVID and superbugs and all kinds of stuff. So make sure you've got that in your kit. Check your flashlights, you know, check your backup light sources, your backup fire sources. Do you have one of those, you know, arc electronic fire starting devices? If you don't have one of those, probably want to get one. And keep it fully charged, but also have backup matches as well. You know, there are a number of things that you need. I can't go through the whole list here, obviously. I'm just saying that understand you may have to bug out. And by the way, in Lahaina, remember that story recently? The people who survived were the people who disobeyed authority and went off-road, went into the dirt and around the barricade. Some people drove through the barricade that the electric company, the power company, had a barricade, and they were telling people, turn around, go back to Lahaina. Those people who obeyed, they died. They burned alive in their cars, man. Only the people who disobeyed survived. Well, what does this mean? If you have a bug-out vehicle, can it go off-road at all? Could you go around the barricade? Could you drive through a barricade? Do you have four-wheel drive? You know, how rugged is your vehicle? Because if you're driving around town in a little Mini Cooper thing, that might be great for finding parking spaces, but not so good for bugging out and disobeying authorities in order to survive. You see what I mean? You might need something much better, much bigger, more robust is all I'm saying. Think about that. And I'm a fan of diesel vehicles because, of course, diesel fuel stores easily and safely for many, many years. whereas gasoline does not. And diesel, it's a universal fuel on my ranch because it powers so many different things and different pieces of equipment and so on. So I store diesel on my ranch. And you can store a lot of diesel. Of course, I can power my tractor, which has a PTO generator. I can generate my own electricity for 6 months. Not everybody's got that kind of setup, but you can move in that direction by getting a diesel vehicle with four-wheel drive and that can go off-road if you've got the budget for it or if you think it's appropriate for you, and maybe that's your bug-out vehicle. Just think about these issues, because a lot of people are dead in Lahaina because they couldn't bug out. There's only one road going through that town, which is the case for a lot of towns in Hawaii, just because it's a series of volcano islands. So there's usually just one main road that goes all the way around the island, and it was blockaded, man. So Hawaii is not necessarily a great place to bug out from, because you just don't have very many options unless you have a boat. A boat gives you all kinds of options, and that's really good. So if you have a boat, maybe that's the best choice. But do what is appropriate for your geography and your location. But most importantly, every time you see news about this hurricane, I want you to think about your own preparedness activities. I want you to find your weaknesses, and I want you to cover them. So turn your weaknesses into strengths. Cover your tracks, make sure you've got backup plans, bug out plans, and at least two sets of everything you need. You should have two rifles, two ballistic vests, two water filters. You see what I mean? Two of everything that you need, one that you can bug out with and one that you can keep at home. And then, of course, it's better to have three, because what if one of your two fails? It's better to have four, so you have a backup both at home and in your bug out system. I know, you're like, oh man, that's going to cost a fortune. No, you just build it up over time. You do what you can. But it's better to have four rifles, four pistols, four night vision. That's a lot of money right there. Get what's appropriate for you, budget accordingly, have backups, and be ready, because none of us are immune to this war that's being waged against us. None of us. So thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com. And also check out my website, PrepWithMike.com, for a lot of preparedness videos. I'll probably add this to that website as well, PrepWithMike.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.